This is Messenger Insight, a podcast program brought to you by Oklahoma Baptist and the Baptist Messenger.
Welcome to the Insight Podcast. I'm Chris Forbes, your host. Today, we have a conversation with Chris and Gretchen, missionaries to the European People's Affinity. They're going to be talking to us about their ministry and also a little bit about the MedAdvance conference that's coming up. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much, Chris.
Glad to be here.
Well, just to be on the safe side, we wanted to preserve security, so we're not giving your last name, but I think people here in Oklahoma will recognize Gretchen. And they may recognize you as you tag along with her from Missouri, but let's have a little time to get to know each other. Those who may not know you, can you tell us a little bit about your Oklahoma background and how you came to find out God's calling to missions? Gretchen.
Yes, I would be happy to. I grew up in Oklahoma, a preacher's daughter, and I have family in Eastern Oklahoma, especially in a little town of Stigler. And my dad pastored in churches in various places. We have some tight connections with some of those churches, even like in Elmore City, and we've been able to partner with churches across Oklahoma since we've been on the mission field, but I knew that the Lord was calling me when I was a young child, and in things like GAs and mission friends in church, and was able to go to Falls Creek, was able to participate in a lot of mission-centered things within those churches that really impacted my life and God's call on my life. At a very young age. And then I went to, we moved out of state, but then I came back and went to OBU and majored in nursing. And it was at OBU that I was in their collegiate ministry and talked to the leader there about I wanted to go on a mission trip in the summer. And it was at that mission trip that I met Chris. Because I went overseas, and we actually, through that time, through the training, and then we saw each other in Africa, just at the end of our summer. So all of those experiences were a part of God just bringing me to more and more of an understanding of how He had prepared and called me to overseas missions.
So pastor's daughter in Elmore City, is that what you?
In various places.
Okay, I was going to say, like I had a whole storyline in my head where, you know, pastor's daughter in Elmore City meets young guy. There's a movie about that, isn't there?
Yes, yeah. There is. Actually, there is.
So Chris, even though you're from Missouri, we won't hold that against you. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your background and how God called you into missions?
Sure. I grew up in the city of St. Louis, and I was saved at 15 years old. And then when I attended a camp during the summer, of course, down at in Bolivar, Missouri, at Super Summer Camp, that's when God got a hold of me and just said, I want you for missions. At that time, I didn't know whether it was, you know, national or it was international, but it was through time that I realized it was international. I went to Mississippi College for my education for university. And like Gretchen said, is during that time is that when we met at some training in Virginia. So she came from Oklahoma to Virginia. I was in Mississippi to Virginia, and that's where we met.
Okay. So now I know that y'all have been missionaries for a while and in more than one place, and I don't know security-wise what you can explain or reveal, but can you talk a little bit about your prior mission experience and then kind of what you all are doing now? And I understand that you have to be careful with the context. We want to be careful to protect those that we're sharing the gospel with and let them take the stand public.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, we appreciate that. When we first went overseas, we went to the country of Russia, and we were there for 3.5 years, right? Just keeping everything in track. 3.5 years. And then after that, we moved a little bit. We were here in our area now where we're serving for 1 year, but then we moved back to Eastern Europe to the Caucasus, and we lived in countries in that area for the remainder of the time. So since 2002, we've been in that area, in the Caucasus area.
But we started in 1997.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, where you're serving now, can you talk a little bit about your work and what your life is like there?
Yeah, we've just made this transition, so we're just settling into a new place, which is interesting. It was kind of hard to leave the place where we were because we were so bonded with the people there, so deeply loved them. And there's quite a few people in Oklahoma who've been there, who visited and partnered with us there. But we're excited about where we are now. And now we have a broader responsibility, really working with all of our personnel across Europe and working among European peoples. Chris is, he's the assistant, the associate area director for Send Relief
for our
affinity for Europe. And so helping our personnel to do those types of projects using Send Relief, mm-hmm. Whether it's just community development or disaster relief, mm-hmm. or human needs types of projects.
And just Send Relief is the humanitarian arm of Southern Baptist. Whether it's Send Relief US, you know, that responds to hurricanes, fires, disasters in the United
Tornadoes,
States.
Tornadoes.
Or, yeah. mm-hmm. or internationally.
Right.
So
yeah. So we're excited about that. We've really seen those types of projects really advance the work. Especially during COVID. Those types of projects all across Europe, just even small projects of a small amount, I would say, have made major inroads across the continent for the gospel. And also my role is, I've had this role for a number of years, but really concentrating on health strategies within European peoples, helping our personnel, whether they have a healthcare background or not, but our teams to use health strategies in
their ministry.
Yeah. And their overall comprehensive strategies of how they're reaching out.
And some of those things are traditional, could be medical teams. Other things could be like CrossFit.
Right. It could include things like fitness, could include things like hands-on medical type of
education.
Outreach. Education, yeah.
So, I've been a while since I've lived in Europe, but it seems like they have a pretty good medical community there, services. So how are you able to supplement or where are you plugging in these kind of medical meetings?
Yeah, you know, it really depends where you are in Europe. I mean, you can go somewhere in Eastern Europe where those services are not very good. Mm-hmm. And so in somewhere like in Eastern Ukraine, where we still have an ongoing conflict with Russia going on, we have a lot of hands-on medical teams going in there, providing hands-on services because they're really needed in an area like that. Or in a country like Armenia, places like that, where we still need those types of services, even eyeglasses, things like that, basic needs. And then in other places that are more advanced, we are seeing supportive care. Well, there's always vulnerable populations in those countries, refugees, people who need supportive care in the same manner, but we're seeing things that are really helping with mental health needs. That's a huge problem today, Chris. And so reaching out in the area of mental health and those types of health needs.
Yeah, I was thinking there's a lot of movement going on in from outside of Europe toward the inside of Europe. Refugees, people looking for economic opportunity. And I hadn't considered that those people, just like here in the United States, come with a lot of basic needs that maybe they don't have access to the full healthcare system or or provided that way. So there's a lot of ways that it seems like travel, if it opens up, will be able to people be able to plug into ministries. Can you talk to us a little bit about what is the COVID situation right now where you are, and travel, and how are churches coping right now?
Yeah, right now within Europe, if you're already within the EU, you can travel pretty easily. They really don't do a whole lot of checking as you're in their system. I was just reading an article that for those coming from the U.S. to the country that we are anyway, they're dropping the quarantine part of like when you arrive, if you show that you have a negative COVID test or you show that you have, you know, your card from, you know, getting vaccinated, you had two doses, then you can come in without getting having that quarantine period.
Right.
It's supposed to be in the middle of May that it's going to be open to everyone to travel. But they're just trying to do it slowly. They're not 100% sure. The country that we're in relies heavily on tourism. Like one in five people work in the tourist business. So last year, I think this really killed the economy here with the closures and of course, no tourism here. So they really want to get that stuff reopened.
So, and you're traveling around the continent. So, I guess, do you ever like find yourself in Spain?
Actually, just today, we were walking. We're going to a bookstore to find a because where we are, we're you know how to communicate in this language book, and we went by, and there was a store that sold Russian pirashki. It's like a fried bread stuffed with something, and whether it's potato.
I love fried bread stuffed with something.
Who does it, right?
That's right. So we bought, and the guy there was Russian speaking. So we were able to stand and talk with him just for a few minutes and get to know him. And of course, buy the pirashki there, which was good. I mean, it's fried, so it's really fattening, not good for you, but it tasted really good.
Wow.
As most fried things are. So, but using Russian language.
So I know that, you know, in your host country, you probably are learning the language and working, but what are people receptive as you are sharing the gospel and talking to people? How open are people to the gospel?
Some of that, since we've only been here a month, so we don't know a whole lot of that. We do know that the country is a quarter of 1% evangelical.
Right.
All right. So, or Protestant. So very, very like 20, what did they say? 20,000, 25,000?
Yeah. That are evangelical. Yeah.
Yeah.
Born again.
Across the country. So it is difficult. They need to see because of their theology and how they think as a people. They need to see, they need to hear God's word, but they also need it demonstrated in their life.
Right.
And so that's one thing that we're partnering with the local churches to do some of those things to show them the gospel as they hear the gospel. And that's partly by meeting human needs or providing needs for their children or for their parents or things like that.
We were just recently talking with a local believer, and he described it like this. He said, they need the gospel in a sandwich. And what he meant by that was they need it with the demonstration of the good works. And I think just like the Apostle James said in the Word of God, that we demonstrate our faith. And so we need to share, just like Chris said, but here, what the believers are telling us is what's so powerful here is when they see our good works, that's what's really affecting people, is they say, wow, you know, that, tell me. And we saw the same thing in the last country where we lived. People were really impacted by the good works they saw in the believers' lives. So those mercy ministries that we do, it's not just about like, oh, we want to, you know, put a Band-Aid on something. It's about really demonstrating the true love of God.
I like what you're saying. That first of all, I totally identify with the gospel sandwich idea, or anything to do with sandwich or fried bread stuffed with something. I think
we are Baptists. So.
Yeah. I think you're going to find a lot of preachers that might even use that gospel sandwich. But, you know, in contrast to like in other theologies that use social gospel and they exclude the gospel, you know, they make the gospel about the revolution or about, you know, social change and stuff like that. And like they reinterpret Christ in terms of more political terms or social terms. And that's not at all what you mean by the gospel sandwich. And I just wanted to just talk about that a little bit. You know, just being engaged in humanitarian work doesn't mean that you are disengaged from the gospel. Could you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah. You know, we use those types of ministries to gain access to people. So we can, you know, give them God's word or to share with them what Christ has done for us. You know, it depends on the situation we find ourselves in. In our previous country, for example, there was a war there recently. And so our church members, our national partners were able to deliver food and clothing to people that had to leave their homes and leave everything behind. And so they were trying to actually meet their needs, you know, what they didn't have clothes. So here's some clothes, here's some food. But at the same time, when they're in the home, they say, you know, we're from this church and we love you because God loves you. And this is what he's done in my life. So, you know, on one hand, you know, we do meet needs, but also we have to give them the gospel message. I don't know.
You know, and actually what happened there, what we saw, this was a very good example, because what we saw was, you know, caring for the poor, caring for those needs in that situation led to the trust that was built.
Right.
And we happened to have been back in the States trying to get our visa to come here. And we received word that they took those people for a little getaway retreat after caring for them. And we received word that on the first night, there were a few people that accepted Christ. And on the second night, there were more. And then on the third night, the church planter called Chris and he said, I've never seen anything like this.
Wow.
Every single person that we brought here has indicated that they have repented, that they've accepted Christ. Mm-hmm. And so really, truly, it was the culmination of what we're talking about. All of these things working together of, you know, of the caring, just like we see Christ do in the Gospels, is caring for their needs while sharing the truth. With the truth is primary, the gospel is primary, but at the same time, we care for people. And when they see that, they can understand who we are as Christ followers. It's an outpouring of our faith.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're preaching repentance, not just restoration, but repentance from sins. And, that's the key. And people, they have a different starting point than they might have in, you know, Elmore City, as far as their understanding of the gospel. So it takes that relationship that's built. Now, Gretchen, you're involved in something that you mentioned earlier about the medical and resourcing communities with needs up to even fitness and things like that. Could you talk a little bit about the MedAdvance conference? Can you tell us what MedAdvance is? And then I understand there is an event coming up that people can get involved with. Talk about that too, please.
Yes. We have an event. It was actually in Oklahoma a couple of years ago. And this year, it is scheduled to be in Fort Worth at Southwestern Seminary, August 5th through the 7th. And this is a tremendous opportunity for anyone who has a healthcare background, works in healthcare, or is a student in any field of healthcare. And so we put on this event, and it's an opportunity to come together and network together with people from the field. People come from all over the world, and then people in the States, and network together and share about what's happening around the globe related to health strategies and healthcare. And so it's just a really neat time. We have different types of training events during that time, different people sharing. It's just, it's a wonderful opportunity. You can register at imb.org/healthcare is where you can register for that event. And so it's not that far from Oklahoma, even though it is in Texas, I know. But
we love Texas, know, really. I mean,
you know, what would we do without Texas?
So. Absolutely. There has to be someone to provide contrast to Oklahoma.
That's right. Besides people from Missouri.
Yeah. Missouri. Well, this has been great. And just before we go, how can Oklahoma Baptist be praying for you, even though you're from Missouri? We will definitely pray for you. How can
we
be praying for you?
I'll have Gretchen answer this question so maybe more people will pray.
Okay.
Pray for our cholesterol eating that fried bread
right
today. Thank you for asking.
Yeah.
One thing that comes to our minds, I think, is we are still providing leadership for the countries that we left. We were...
the team leader there. We still are, but just from a distance. But
until that role can be filled. And so our hearts are still there, but we're still also working in those for those areas. And there's a third generation a third generation church plant that has started recently. And so for the new church plant and for the work that's going on there in a post-war setting.
And that was the third generation was a result of those people praying that she mentioned earlier.
Yeah, so that's a plant of a plant of a plant. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Yeah. So there was a church that we partnered with, started a new church, and that church started a church.
Yeah, multiplication.
Yeah. There you go.
Yes, yeah. Yes. And so for praying for those people there and also for the role for Send Relief and health strategies for us as we do those projects across our affinity, that really we would see more multiplication, that we would see those resources get to gospel mm-hmm. and get to church. And also for us establishing locally that we would be able to build those close relationships here, that we would find our best friends here and be able to go deep.
Very good. Very good. I assume people might be able to meet you at the MedAdvance conference in August.
At least Gretchen. We know she's going. I don't know about her yet.
All right. Well, that'd be good. Well, this has been great, and we would definitely be continuing in prayer for you and excited about the ministry that you have and these new opportunities that the Lord has placed you in to impact the entire continent of Europe. And there's so many diverse peoples there that There's plenty of work to do, so praying for energy for you. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Very good. That's Chris and Gretchen, missionaries to the European People's Affinity for the IMB. Very pleased to have them, and we're so thankful for you to join us. If you enjoyed this podcast, you can find more conversations just like it at our website at baptistmessenger.com. Or search for Baptist Messenger wherever you download podcasts. And while you're looking at baptistmessenger.com, look up and subscribe to our print edition of the Baptist Messenger. It's free and you can have for any member of your church. Thanks for joining us.
This Messenger Insight has been brought to you by the Cooperative Program and Oklahoma Baptists. Visit us at baptistmessenger.com or your preferred podcast platform. Oklahoma Baptists, advancing the gospel together.